The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
This is Senior Solutions with Eric Stewart on 105.9 FM and AM 630, WMAL.
Welcome to the Senior Solutions Real Estate Show, brought to you by the Senior Solutions team at the Eric Stewart Group of Long & Foster. If you've missed an episode or find any information that we talk about today helpful to a friend or a family member, send them to our website, ericstewartgroup.com, or find Seniors Solutions on Spotify. You could also just Google Eric Stewart Group Radio, and you'll find the site that way. Wow, that's a lot of options, so you shouldn't have an excuse to listen every week. Hey, AI. What is AI? It means artificial intelligence. And can that play a useful role in nursing care? Well, I think the question has an obvious answer in yes. In Tokyo, there's a startup that's been around for the last, I guess, 9 or 10 years that's really focusing on gathering information so that the nurses can analyze unstructured nursing care data better using audio and video, and therefore further evaluate their patients to understand their strengths and their weaknesses so they get better service. I think this is very important, especially in Japan. I don't know if you know this, but 1/5 of Japanese are now 70 years or older, according to government data. And there's just not enough people also to care for all of those older people in Japan. So getting better care through artificial intelligence, gathering information that will help the decision makers make decisions faster and better for their patients should be a good thing.
I warned you, baby, from time to time, but you just wouldn't listen, wouldn't pay me no mind, and I'm moving on.
If you've been thinking about moving and you're a senior, well, I want to give you 10 moving tips for seniors, okay? And I guess the number 10 is start by making a plan. And we've shared that recently on this show. Begin by making key decisions, okay? Asking yourself what it is that you want to do. Will you hire a move manager? Do you want to bring in items from a stager? Do you want to move things out? These are all things that can be fairly daunting by themselves. So remember the old Ben Franklin close. This is my favorite negotiation tool, and it's simply a T-chart, simply a line at the top across from left to right and a long vertical line down the middle. You're right. The reasons I should move on one side and the reasons I shouldn't on the other. Or you write, here are the things I need to take care of in moving on one side, and whatever. You get the idea. Start to make decisions and make a plan. Start early is number 9. It's just never too early to start downsizing. I think most of us have downsized from the pinnacle of our mid or early 50s, at least for me. That's where I'm at in life, and I'm at the tipping point. I've got 5 children. I've got 3 that are essentially, off of school and so on. And then I've got 2 still here. But I can see the balance of the use of my own home tipping and all of the stuff that I have. Of course, we've gone through stages and it's time, as we all do, downsize the kiddie stuff as the kids get older. And then a lot of the middle school stuff as the kids get older and so on. But start early to the downsizing or right-sizing process by breaking it into smaller tasks. That's number 8. Inch by inch is a cinch, and yard by yard is hard. One of my favorite quotes, and it's true. It's true in savings. Inch by inch, if you save money over a long period of time, it will grow your wealth dramatically, right? Inch by inch, if you exercise each day, you will get stronger and you'll recover your health and you'll keep your core and your health and your body better, right? So make sure you break down the whole idea of moving into small pieces. One idea I've had and I've shared before is just take one room and start in one corner and move clockwise through the room. Don't worry about what you run into. Just grab something that's in that room that you're not sure whether you want to keep it, and you ask yourself 3 questions. Do I love this? Do I need this? Do I use this? Okay? Those 3 questions. If you get 3 yeses or 2 yeses, you probably should keep it. And if you keep it, then you're going to need to put it someplace in your home. Either it's going to go with you, you're going to give it to the kids, or you're going to sell it, throw it, or recycle it, or donate it, right? And by the way, you can get the right sizing guide at ericstewartgroup.com, where I break down what I just told you with images. It's very helpful. Okay? So break things into smaller pieces, start in one room, pick something up, and then take it, put it in one of the five boxes, or put it where it belongs in the house, okay? Then plan out your space. It's really good to know how much space you actually use. I found it interesting that the average couple uses 1,100 square feet a day at the most. I would say this to you right now. This is not a determining factor. As far as I'm concerned, the size is up to you. It is completely up to you. If you choose 2,000, 1,500, 1,000, or 500, whatever you feel like you need, but recognize that you're going to leave behind a lot of space, most likely, that you don't need for something that is more reasonable and actually will fit your real needs. Then you can invest the leftover money into growing your wealth in other ways, right? And just literally enjoy the smaller space and the lesser responsibility, which I'm actually excited about, is getting to the point where a lot of the things that I maintain and take care of that I'm no longer responsible because I've either downsized the amount of responsibility or I've passed that responsibility on to others. So, list what's important. That's number six. Take time to clarify which possessions are really important to you and just make sure you have pictures of those with your insurance. If you're still a couple of years away, if you're disrupting things in your home, make sure you take images of valuables that you may not have seen for a while. Just so you, if you haven't taken pictures for a long time or you don't have a full-blown appraisal, and if you have general coverage with your insurance company, in other words, you get your homeowner's insurance and you could put a blanket coverage for a certain amount of your possessions on top of that for not a lot more money. So if something gets lost, stolen, or destroyed in some fashion, you'll be reimbursed for it. So list what's most important. Make sure you take pictures of the items that you own in case of disaster in your transition. Save those memories. Take videos of your property the way that it is now. Even if it's really cluttered, don't worry. You got it to that point and it's part of your story. And it's okay. You shoot everything the way that you've laid it out and then you disseminate the items maybe to the family at that point. But you want to give them the film and you want to maybe give them a little story behind all the things that you may be giving them so that you're passing the baton of your life on to the next generation, that they can pass that to the next generation. And 200 years from now, that little video that you shot with that explanation of that particular item that you're passing on to the next generation, it will survive all the way down as a reminder of where it came from. Think, in our lives, if I knew Seth Fuller Stewart, who was my great-grandfather, if I had known him, he was a merchant. He owned a general store in downtown Pittsburgh. He used to serve Andrew Carnegie, and he used to serve Paul Mellon, and these guys considered him a friend. He chased Abraham Lincoln's train when he was going through Pittsburgh in the spring of 1861. This is a man I would love to have known, and I would love to have had him tell me the story of the things that I've inherited through my grandfather and my father, and I will inherit those from my dad one day. Think about it, okay? Pass on to the next generation. Think about 200 years or 100 years or even just 50 years from now, how much it will be appreciated. Stay in touch, okay? Make sure that you notify your contacts that you're moving and do so. Include the post office, friends, family, publications, associations, banks, you know, all the usual suspects. And you want to make sure that you terminate the utilities, but don't do it until after you've actually exited the property. I've seen folks arrive into the house and it was too cold. In fact, pipes had burst. So make sure you keep the utilities on in a transition. One of the hardest things is letting go of possessions. So when you think about passing on your possessions to the rest of the family, by taking a video, you also keep the memory of the possession. So you don't necessarily have to have it, but you have the memory of it, and you can keep that and look at that and remember. Lastly, prepare for your moving day. Pack a suitcase if you're going to go away for a few days around the move. Consider that. I really like move managers as a profession. Your typical movers will box and pack everything and they'll move it, but they don't unpack anything. The move managers can work in tandem with the major movers. So if you have a significant amount to move, you might want to consider a mover and a move manager. But recently, TAD relocation, actually became a mover and a move manager. And so that's something that you really probably want to consider if you can afford the extra help in going through the items that you have and deciding what to keep, what to give away, and so on. And lastly, ask for help. Don't be afraid to contact your family, even far away. Let them know that you're going to be making a major life move and invite them to come visit and help. It's okay. It's actually what I think every son or daughter would want from mom or dad is to find out how they're doing. I know for myself, I would want my mom or dad to tell me if they were making a major life move well in advance and invite me to come visit and help them. So think about it. Just make sure you ask for help. Consider it, okay? Oh, and speaking of help, here's a guy that helps our seniors through the Beacon newspapers every month, Stuart Rosenthal. Good morning, Stuart.
Good morning, Eric. Nice to be here.
Good. Thanks. And what do you have in the Beacon newspaper this month?
Well, there's something I want to bring to the attention of your listeners in case anyone listening is an enrollee in Medicare Advantage plans. This means you're on Medicare and you've chosen to be already in a Medicare Advantage plan. That means one that comes with a lot of other additional services that Medicare doesn't usually offer, but it has limited doctors and limited hospitals. If you're in one of those plans, there's a new extended window in which you can change plans, or you can leave the plan entirely and go back to regular Medicare just through the end of March. Oh. So this is a new thing. So if you decided that you're not totally happy with the plan you're in, or you want to get out of it entirely, this is the time to do it.
Okay.
You can do it at Medicare.gov. But when you do it, keep in mind that if you're leaving Medicare Advantage and going to regular Medicare, you'll need a supplemental policy.
Okay.
And that you want to be sure you're going to be covered by that because there are pre-existing conditions that apply.
Fantastic. Read about it in the Beacon newspapers at thebeaconnewspapers.com. Thank you, Stuart.
Thank you, Eric.
Two-thirds of millennials have homebuyer's remorse. Find out why. Also, how to donate a house and why you might want to really do it.
Now, back to Senior Solutions on WMAL. Here's your host, Eric Stewart.
Big house, big car, backseat, full bar. Houseboat won't float, the bank won't tote enough. Too much stuff.
79% of all of us say that we feel like owning a home is a key part of the American dream. Would you agree with that? That you owning your home is a key part to you feeling like you've fulfilled an overall dream that you had in life of home ownership? That's one of the key dreams of being in America, to own your own place and have that individual solidarity within the walls of your home. You know, that tremendous respite that a home can provide from all the busyness of the day. That place where so much of our lives is lived. In fact, it's really where I think most of us live most of our lives is in our homes. So I think 79% of us saying that it's a part of and a fulfilling of our American dream, I think that rings true to me. I was surprised to discover, though, according to Bankrate, that 63% of millennials are more likely to regret the home they bought than any other generation. So this is the purchasers. Now, the ages of 23 and 28, that age range right there, 63% of the purchasers bought something and then had regrets in their purchase. Now, we've all experienced regret in buying our houses at different stages. I say we all, and you may be the exception to what I'm saying. So bear with me, and I'm very happy for you that you've had a phenomenal experience in your house. But I know that every house is a compromise of some kind and isn't necessarily a bad house, but there are things that we wish that we could have in our homes that we can't have by virtue of the decisions that were made architecturally, right? And or the location of the property. Okay. So Bankrate, they went through soliciting input from about 2,700 adults and about 1,500 of them were homeowners to find out what the biggest caution was for others that they passed on when they're disillusionment in purchasing a home, this baby boom 23 to 28. Well, can you guess what it might be? What do you think the millennials would complain about the most? Well, certainly this seems to be the portrait of the millennial generation as a generality, that they are not necessarily very handy. Not together, all together this way, but just as a generation, okay? I know that that's true because I've got a couple of millennials, and one is handy, but not necessarily because of my teaching, and the other one not really, and definitely not because of my teaching. Whereas I grew up at a time where my dad had a workbench, and we spent time together doing things around the workbench and building things, and that just wasn't who I am, and so I didn't pass that on to that generation. So if my sons had purchased a house, I think that they probably would say the same thing, or at least half of the two would say that they felt that the home maintenance costs and other unexpected expenses related to buying a house are what have taken away the joy of home ownership for them. So owning a house is a right that we have if we have the capability financially of owning a house, right? It is definitely the opportunity. That's the American dream. But the responsibility that comes with it is not necessarily looked at. You know, it's the age old, you buy something, you got to take care of it. And it doesn't matter what it is. Furniture, your floors, you know, because the second law of thermodynamics, it holds true with all of the physical surroundings in our earth, including the buildings, including everything that is made, and including us, okay? So think about that regret. I think as we get older in life, we may be handy and capable, but we also come to a point where we say, I could, but I don't want to. And so you give that over maybe by right-sizing into a home that's maybe an apartment, renting someplace, or moving into a life plan community where, you know, that could be a host of 30 to 40 different communities right here around the D.C. region. For information on that, get a copy of our CCRC guide, which stands for Continuing Care, Retirement Communities, Independent Living, Assisted and Memory Care. And if you're looking to buy, want to consider Potomac Green out in Ashburn, or maybe Celebrate down in Fredericksburg, or other communities in Frederick and so on, you want to consider moving to a right-sized property for you in this stage of life, reach out to us at ericstewartgroup.com. Request a copy of the Right Sizing Guide. Ask to speak with one of our brilliant buyer agents, and we'll take good care of you on the buy side and on the sell side, too.
Well, I ain't gonna need this house no longer. I ain't gonna need this house no more.
Ain't got time to fix the shingle. Ain't got time to fix the floor.
So if you wanted to just be done with your house, you really could just give it away. So a lot of us will give away art or money or other possessions that we have. You may wonder how to donate a house. Now, this can crop up for any 501c3 organization you would like to support. Okay, so what I'm saying is you could approach your favorite 501c3 and tell them that you've been considering this as an option and would like to find out if they could handle it. Now, most organizations don't have a lot of knowledge about the benefits of donating a house, and it could be an investment property you've kept and you've written off and depreciated that property forever, so there's going to be a very sizable capital gains for you, the tax on that property. Maybe giving it away, maybe it would be a better tax solution for you because you get the whole write-off before you pay the tax. Right? So there are definitely benefits to considering this to a charity of your choice. So the thing about this is you get a major tax deduction, and this one's really the big one. Okay? So you might be able to use the cost basis of your home, its value when you purchased it originally, plus any of the improvements that you've made to it, as the amount of your charitable deduction. It allows you to deduct up to 60% of your adjusted gross income. And if you take your deduction based on the appreciated basis, which is the value of your home right now, your deductions are limited to only 30% of your adjusted gross income. It's a bit complicated. So I encourage you to talk to a trusted financial advisor before moving ahead, okay? You want to avoid capital gains taxes? You can avoid the taxes on the appreciated value of the house, and the charity can also avoid those taxes. Your donation will be worth more than if you sold the home yourself and donated the proceeds after taxes. Okay? If you're familiar with Widow Care, which is a 501c3 helping widows in our region, they receive property, as an example, they receive property as a donation and can assist you in the disposition. So if you're interested, widowcare.org is the place to go for that. If you want to minimize your estate taxes, you could transfer your property to a charity instead of leaving it to somebody in your will. That would remove your property from your estate, saving money on estate taxes, okay? And plus, you're just going to make a heck of a difference in whichever charity you decide you want to give to. If you're going to make a sizable donation, you might not otherwise be able to do, think about avoiding those hassles and the stress. Plus, sometimes in the donation process, an annuity can be set up or life insurance can be set up to replace the value of the house. That's also something to talk with your trusted financial advisor about if you're thinking about it. Okay, so here are just the four steps, and we're going to make it quick, okay? If you wanted to consider, you would talk with the donor organization to take a tax deduction from donating your house. It would need to go to a 501c3 organization, and once you confirm the organization's status, ask if it would like a home donation. Some organizations will be thrilled to receive your home donation, and for others, it might not be a good fit due to the cost involved in maintaining or selling the house. Get a professional appraisal. You're going to want an appraisal in order to give credence to the value of the home you would be giving in its current condition, okay? You're going to want to take that donation as a tax deduction, and you want to pass that muster with the IRS, okay? Talk to your advisors. A tax advisor can guide you in regards to the potential tax benefits of the deduction. And if you haven't paid the mortgage off and you're close to it, just pay it off, because it really simplifies the donation process immensely. It keeps the receiving organization from having to pay unrelated business income tax. Okay? I guess the last thing is you got to make sure that you sign the property and get the receipt. Once everybody's on the same page, proceed with that transfer. Coordinate with the donor organization to be sure to get the documentation that you're going to need when you file your taxes in the following year. Helen Flynn, I hear that special music. How are you?
Good morning, Eric. Selling a longtime home and moving is only one part of the redesigning of our lives for the future, for the next stage of our lives. Some call it elderhood, and I'm trying to work on another name because I don't really like that. But the exciting part is that we can design many aspects of our future, where we live, what we do, who we are with, etc. How is your redesign coming?
Thanks, Helen.
You're welcome.
Well, thanks for listening to the Seniors Solutions Show here on WMAL every Sunday, 8:30 to 9. Don't forget, you can check us out on Spotify under Seniors Solutions, or Google Eric Stewart Group Radio, and you'll find our shows there. You can listen online. If you're thinking about making a move, thinking about downsizing, give us a call at the Eric Stewart Group of Long and Foster. We're here to help, and it is the spring market, and things are popping. Toll free 800-900-9104, or go right now to ericstewartgroup.com. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next week. You know you can hurt yourself fooling with too
much stuff. Are you over 50 or love someone who is? I'm Stuart Rosenthal, publisher of the Beacon Newspapers, and our paper's meant for you. Our free monthly is packed with well-written topical information, the latest health research, diet and fitness advice, stock market updates, financial planning tips, elder law topics, housing options, plus technology, travel, and arts features, all geared to the needs and interests of people over 50 and their families. The Beacon can be picked up at no charge from more than 1,500 locations throughout the D.C. metro area. Libraries, recreation centers, CVS and Rite Aid pharmacies, churches and synagogues, doctor's offices, and other places where older adults live and shop. And visit our newly updated website, thebeaconnewspapers.com, for even more stories than fit in our printed publication. And to use our new Silver Pages, a searchable database of regional housing, home care, financial planning, and legal services. For more information about The Beacon, including how to advertise your business or event, either in print or online, call 301-949-9766. That's 301-949-9766. Or send us a message at thebeaconnewspapers.com.